thank the Lord. You know, and I'm thankful for that. But the message that he preached, make me the person my dog thinks I am.
Yeah.
And I got to thinking on that. You know, I said, well, I can be a better person. Yeah, I just have to turn my life back to the God and be able to serve him like I should, you know, and do what I should. And I'm thankful.
Amen.
I'm looking forward to Preacher Cooper coming.
Bless your heart.
Because he'll bring back memories to me, and I'm thankful.
Bless him, Lord.
So y'all just remember us when you pray. We've got some health problems, but I'm going to try with everything I got to make number 9 straight.
Bless him, Lord. Bless him, Lord.
And I'm thankful for that because I've had a lot of problems, but I've been able to do that. And you know, I'm thankful for that. The Lord has blessed me, and I love the Lord.
Amen. Bless you, Joe. Bless you, Joe. I'm being attacked up here by a killer fly, in case y'all haven't noticed that. When he said that about a dog, I mean, I used to have a dog, he'd bite at him. So if you see me start biting at the fly, just go on with the service. It'll be all right. Someone else. Amen. I don't know how much Trenton's not here tonight, is he? Okay. Well, that's good, because I'm going to talk about him. He did real good this morning. He did real good. And verse that he read, when he read it, I got hung up on it. I was like, man, have you ever done that, Brian? It was a short part of the verse, a very short part of his message, and I thought, I have never quite heard that like that. But here's what it was. It was in, of course, in Matthew chapter 20, and it was verse 15, and it's only 2 sentences. But man, in those 2 sentences, it's pretty powerful. It really is. And it says in 15, is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Man, that takes you all the way to the cross. That takes the Lord all the way to the cross. Because that's him speaking there. And then after that, it says, is thine eye evil because I am good? And I thought, man, that's what seems like the whole world. Anything that's good is wrong and it's bad. And it's okay for Christians to be persecuted because, you know what I'm saying? It really touched me. Just those 2 sentences. And then I thought, you know, they crucified him, so yeah, that was pretty powerful. I appreciate that.
Bless you, Jim.
I'll tell him, and I hope you do too. That part of his message, even though that wasn't his main thing, boy, it hit me right in the mouth, and I liked it. I liked it a lot. It was good. It was real good. Someone else. Amen. Chris, you got another song? Okay. Amen.
Turn to page 161. Let's stand, shake hands, fellowship.
Amen.
Then we'll, I guess, gather for family prayer. 161.
We praise thee, O God, for the Son of thy love, for Jesus who died and is now gone above. Hallelujah, thy the glory. Glory, hallelujah, amen, hallelujah. soul be rekindled with fire from above. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again.
Turn to page 165. 165.
Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take Him at His word, just to rest upon His promise, just to know the saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. Oh, how sweet to trust in Jesus, just to trust His cleansing blood, just in simple faith to plunge me neath the healing cleansing flood. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more. I'm so glad I learned to trust Him, precious Jesus, Savior, friend. And I know that Thou art with me, trust in Jesus, just from sin and self to cease, just from Jesus simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust Him, how I proved Him more and more. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust Him more.
Amen. Does anybody have any prayer requests? If there's not any more testimonies, I don't want to cut you short. But if there's any more testimonies, you speak up. But if not, we'll start taking prayer requests. Is there any prayer requests? Remember Rex Moss. Margaret Westfall is back in the nursing home. And then remember Theodore. I don't know if everybody knows about Theodore, but he twisted both his ankles, and then one ankle got some type of infection or something in it, but he's had some complications. And give him a call. Give him a call. Amen. Someone else. Remember our military. Our nation, our leaders. Amen. Remember Joyce Pitchford. When did he pass?
This morning.
My. My. So Joyce Pitchford, her husband passed. Was it sudden? Had he been sick or? Okay, all right. Brink, my. Remember Joyce Pitchford? And also her sister had an episode while she was there with Joyce. What was his name? Greg Reese. Okay, so Greg. Greg Reese passed away. Yes. Yes. Yeah. My. Greg Reese passed. Greg Reese. Remember that family. My. Someone else.
He had a heart attack. Last night was bleeding.
Complications. Went down. Mm. Remember Kim and Colton. Some of you may know, but Adam, that's Kim's son. Colton is autistic. And he fell today. He got 7 stitches. And he's a hard little fella to fool with. And remember them, if you would. His name's Colton. Vicki has a very special request. Someone else. Connie and Donna, Brenda's sisters.
Any word on Grace?
I haven't heard any word on Grace, but we need to remember her for sure. Any word on Grace, Bumpus? Okay, we need to. Grace Bumpus had an episode, I believe, at college. She passed out. They're not really sure why. But Robbie and Lori rushed up there this morning, if my understanding is correct from what I heard in Tony's class, to be with her and to maybe try to figure out with a doctor or something, figure out what's going on. But that's all we know. That's all I know. But remember Grace and the Bumpuses. So,
I also remember my kids, my grandkids. They're lost, and I lost them in Bonnie,
who
has children, two grandchildren,
are not saved. Amen. Remember their families, their grandchildren and children. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Yes. Remember Adam and Andrea. With Colton being the way he is, it's hard to deal with, and it's hard on him. It's hard on him. I thank the Lord for Kim. Bless her heart. I don't know what they'd do without her. I really don't. Sometimes you don't know what people's got going on in their lives, but yeah. Each and every one of us do. I know we do, but when you get to see a little bit of what somebody else goes through, Chris, it's pretty. It's an amazing thing that they can. Keep on. Anyway, someone else. I'm a big crybaby. Someone else.
I want to thank the church for praying for my sister. Holly Booker is her name. She, as you know, I told you she had 4 stages of cancer. She's got 4 more treatments to go, but the doctor told her that his personal opinion that he believes that she's going to be okay.
Bless her, Lord. Bless her heart. Amen. Someone else. Amen. The altar is always open. If you want to come to the altar and pray, what I do want you to do, or you can pray right where you're at, but I want you to pray until you reach the throne. Amen. Everyone lead out in their own prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we bow before you with our own praise,
I'm going to ask that you have a message. I'm going to ask that you have a message.
But there's nothing like the presence of the Lord. When you said, I'm going away, but I will send a comforter. Our Father, that will never leave you nor forsake you. We thank you, our God, for everything. My Father, things that we don't understand, knowing our Father, you're in control of it all. Father, bless our fellow pastors and the evangelist, Lord God, that will be coming. And Father, you prepare my heart. You revive me, Lord God.
Some one person. And I was like, man, I have not seen them a long time in church. And I know a little bit of things that's going on because we're close. And they were here this morning. And I praise the Lord for that. No names. Just I'm going to tell you. praise the Lord for that.
Yes.
And there's other little things that goes on too. And Vic will get on me for telling you this one, but I'm going to. Because she'll say it's dumb, and I shouldn't have said it. But I'm going to. She's already giving me the eye. But it blessed me. It blessed me. And it blessed me. Benton had a birthday, and we was at the beach. And she's already giving me the shh. But we picked out a little truck because that's what we do. Because anyway, we got him a little birthday gift. And when I gave it to him, his mommy looked at me and said, "Yesterday, he had two of them picked out in Walmart. He could only have one. The one you just gave him was the one he had to put back on the shelf." Now that's silly, but the Lord has blessed me more with that than you have any idea. Because I thought to myself, that little feller, maybe he might have said in his prayers that night, "Boy, I sure wish I had that truck." Now let me tell you something. It may not have meant nothing to nobody else, but if it meant something to him, it meant something to the Lord. And Jimmy, that's silly. But boy, it blessed my heart. And if you ever want somebody to pray for you, get Benton. But it blessed me. But I thought, ain't that wonderful? Ain't that wonderful that the Lord does little things like that? And it's coincidence. Okay, it is. But I'm glad it's a coincidence. Y'all pray for me. I'm being silly. Timmy, you're about ready, aren't you? We're getting ready to go into revivals. I'm wiping sweat and tears. But Wednesday night, when we got to church, I told Chris, I've been crying up the interstate. Imagine that, big crybaby I am. But it was because of a song by JT. And it just brought the Holy Spirit in that truck. And we're getting ready to go into revival. And this is a good one, one of the good ones to have play. Go ahead.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well with my soul. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll, the trump shall resound, and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul. This glorious thought, my sins not in part, but the whole, have been nailed to the cross, and I bear. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
glorious thought. My sins not in part, but the whole had been nailed to the cross, and I bear them no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, O my soul. It is well.
Yes.
So
have a word of testimony.
Give me one testimony that is that he left behind. I think that's what comes on me. Goodness gracious. I mean, he was my choir director since day one for me. And I tell you what, he took up for me in times and different things in the middle of my life. And how awesome it is that I got a CD.
Helpers that are going to pass out something for me, if they'll do that at this time. I'm going to pass out something. But listening to that song, I was thinking about Carl Pitchford, you know, somebody that was big in my life and meant so much to me. But just knowing that it is well. After everything that he had to go through, you know, this past year, and I think it was a year and 4 months. But it is well. And I thought about how he passed this morning on a Sunday morning. That reminds me of another Sunday morning. And the message that comes with that Sunday morning is the resurrection. That reminds me of that. I'm so thankful for his life. And I'm glad for the reward that he has at this time. So, if you've got your Bibles with you, we're going to spend the majority of time in Jonah, the book of Jonah. But we're going to look first at one that we see a lot, and that we talk about a lot, and that we preach about a lot. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. But I'm going to do something that I don't normally do. Normally I just read the verse as it is, But I want to look ahead. I want to look ahead at the second part of the first verse there. Because sometimes we say that second, which makes sense because chronologically it's what it says second. But I want to focus on that first because it says this: lean not unto thine own understanding. Lean not unto thine own understanding. You know what God's trying to tell us there? He's trying to tell us, stop trying to figure it out. Amen. Stop trying to figure everything out. Lean not unto thine own understanding, because you go back to that first verse and it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, because in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Do not try to figure it out, because he will direct your paths. And so we passed out, I had them pass out something. Hopefully everybody got, what is it that they passed out? A puzzle piece. All right. Okay, so lean not unto thine own understanding. We're going to go to Jonah chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. It says this. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Go to a city, not go to a person, go to a whole city and cry against them and tell them they're wrong and tell them that their wickedness has come up against God. That's the command that God gave to Jonah. And it said in verse 3, But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord and went down to Joppa. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. So God went to Jonah and he said, I need you to go to Nineveh. And Jonah stood before God and he said, Nope, I'm not. I'm going in another way. And it said he fled. Why did he flee unto another city? We can say a bunch of things. We can say he was scared and all of this. Or, you know, he was afraid. What's that? Yeah, we read the rest of the story. He didn't like him very much, did he, John? He did not like him. But what it boils down to, why he left, is because he was leaning unto his own understanding. Whether that would be that he didn't like him, or whether that would be he was afraid, or whether that would be whatever reason, the underlying reason is that he was leaning unto his own understanding. And so I gave you those puzzle pieces because that represents something about life. Life is puzzling. Life is confusing. Life seems random all the time. You know, we got these puzzle pieces. Does anybody know what shape, Phil, what shape is your puzzle piece? Kind of a trick question.
Looks like a little guy off of Pac-Man.
So you can't really put a shape to it. You can't say that it's a square, it's a triangle, or, you know, it seems completely random. It seems, you know, it's its own shape, whatever that is. Brian, how about the collar? What collar is yours? Okay. Different collars. Now, for me, even if it was an obvious collar, I still wouldn't be sure because I'm colorblind. But that's why I got to trust in the Lord to be my eyes. But so we're not even sure what shape it is. We're not sure what size it is. How about, Kip, what is the image that you see when you look at your puzzle piece?
It's a man standing between two horses drinking water.
A man standing between two horses. Now, ask somebody else if they look at Kip's puzzle piece. They probably won't see that.
I just
look at
Kip kind of
puzzled. Yeah. She agreed? So when we look at it, we don't really know what it is. I mean, can anybody have any guess of what this the final vision would be? Can't really tell because we're not sure. So life is puzzling. It's like a puzzle piece. You know, so a lot of times things happen. All the time things happen, and we're confused by them. I think about the boy up in Roane County, Alex Miller, and what happened to him. When we first get the news that he's on the field, and then all of a sudden he collapses, and it's puzzling. And we ask ourselves, why? You know, what could this be? What is going on? Why is this happening? We all do that. We all ask those questions because things seem so random sometimes. Things seem like they're out of control. They seem like, you know, they just don't make any sense. And I feel like this is how Jonah was feeling at this time. God gave him a commandment, and he couldn't see what the picture was. He didn't know what it was. He just saw himself, probably saw himself like that puzzle piece,
I'm just a random person. I'm just a random, you know, I don't even know what I'm supposed to be. And here God is calling me to go do this thing. Because I think we feel like that sometimes. We feel like those puzzle pieces because things don't seem to make sense. You know, there are seven billion people in this world, and sometimes we feel like we are just one of 7 billion. Sometimes we feel like we are just one in the number. But here's the beautiful thing about puzzle pieces, and you guys know this, is that they're a grand design. Every piece is important. Every piece has a function. Every piece, it's not one out of billions, it's one of a kind. Because there's only one place that can fit. And if you don't have it, if you don't, you know, in that place, then it doesn't make sense. So I'm going to go on over to Jonah chapter 3. Because we know that what happens in chapter 2, you know, we know that he flees and then there's a great storm. And he is cast off the boat, and then the great fish comes and swallows him. And he doesn't stay like near the surface whenever that happens. It says that he takes him down to the bottoms of the mountains of the sea. And it says that all the waters were about him. It says, I went down to the bottoms of the mountains, and the earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. So he repented and he cried out to the Lord from the belly of the fish. And it spewed him out onto the dry land. And beginning with chapter 3, verse 1, it says this. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise and go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto the preaching that I bid thee. So basically told him the same thing that he had told him before. And so Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh, according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them even to the least of them. So God sent Jonah to this city, this wicked city, to have a message. And Jonah eventually, after he figured out what he was supposed to do, he went there and he preached this message. And guess what? It says the whole city believed. And they repented. And they proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth from the greatest of them, even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will repent, will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger that we perish not? And it says, And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not. And so what we have is we have Jonah, who is told to go do something that he has no idea what is in store. He hasn't seen the final picture. And so, you know, he's kind of like that puzzle piece. He's not sure what to do, what's going to happen. But eventually he comes and he figures it out and figures it out. Well, he had to get swallowed up by a whale first and then go down to the bottom of the earth and then figure it out. But eventually he comes to and he goes and he does that which God had directed him to do in the first place. And it turns out that everything fit together like a beautiful puzzle. And that God's word was given unto the people of Nineveh, and that many people were saved, many people repented. The whole city was saved because of that action. Because of someone who God sent to do something that he didn't understand. And yet that was the outcome of it. So, you know, we have these puzzle pieces in our life. Life seems like a puzzle. And if you're not careful, you'll look at the shape of that thing and you'll say, I don't understand what I'm supposed to be. Or you'll look at the collar of it and say, you know, nothing I do is going to make an impact. How can I be how can I fit into the grand scheme of things? Maybe we look at it and say, look how small I am, or look what I am, and how can I do anything for God? Because I look at myself and nothing makes sense. But that's where God comes in, because it's dangerous to look at life that way. If we look at life that way, I ask them to get a picture. It's the one that doesn't make any sense. If we're not careful, not that one. Sorry, the other one. If we're not careful, we'll think of life, we'll look at life, and this is what life will look like. And maybe that's what it looked like for Jonah. That's probably what it looked like for the people of Nineveh before Jonah showed up. This is probably their life. Their life was just a complete, chaos, confusion. Doesn't make any sense. By the way, that probably went for millions of dollars somewhere in an auction. You know that? We're in the wrong profession. We should be doing that and selling things for, But if we're not careful, that is what life can look like when we lean unto our own understanding. When we lean into our own understanding, that is what life can look like. And after a while, that can get you down. And so a lot of times what we end up with is people who don't see the value of their own life. People who look at themselves as these puzzle pieces and say, I don't understand what I'm supposed to be or what I'm supposed to do. And they end up, what do they end up doing? They end up throwing it all away. This is their life, and they throw it away. This is what people are doing in America right now. This is what people, whether they're doing it on purpose or whether they're seeking other things to make sense, that's what their life looks at, so they turn to other things. And this is a life that goes down. This is a life because they don't understand what it is they're supposed to do. But they don't realize that they are one in a million, or that they are one of a kind, and that they are, meant for something. They are part of the grand design of life as God designed it. He wants us. He's got this picture, and we are a piece that fits into that. He wants to send us places to go to make sense to people. He wants to send us and direct us to go to places where we're going to go, and the puzzle's going to fit together, and it's going to make a beautiful picture. And we'll show that picture. Because this is the pieces that we have in here that don't make any sense. That, Brian wasn't sure what color it was, and we weren't really sure what shape it was, and Kip said that it was somebody between two horses or something like that. But if we can get that other picture, you all got a glimpse of it, right? That is what the puzzle maker had in mind when he created this puzzle. That is what he designed in the first place. He designed that puzzle, and he put that picture, and he made that picture, and he put each spot where it needed to be, and he put each color where it needed to be, and he put each shape and each image. Now, this is just a puzzle that I got from Walmart, so there's not really any spiritual connotation to that picture, but it's a beautiful image, and you can see the beautiful nature that God has put before us, the nature that is not random, the nature that is not just by accident, that didn't just come about by accident, but that God had planned it. There are so many people out there today who see their life and they think that they're just an accident. They think that they just came about for no particular reason, and so there's no value in either their life or other people's lives. But God has a beautiful picture, and he has a piece for each of us to play, and each of us is one of a kind. And take your piece home as a reminder. Just keep it somewhere as a reminder. When things start to get confusing in your life, when tragedy hits, when you're going through death, when you're going through sickness or something, pick up this piece of the puzzle and remind yourself that this is you, and that you are one of a kind, and that you have a place that you fit to show people the image of Christ. Just like Jonah had to go. But the important thing is that we lean not unto our understanding. If we go where we think we need to be, we end up like that jumbled picture. We end up, just making a mess of things. Thankfully, Jonah had a second chance. God gave, he opened his eyes and gave him a second chance, and he was able to go. But it's not always going to make sense. That's why life is like a puzzle. It's not always going to make sense to us. But it makes sense to God. And eventually it comes together to make sense for others, so that others can see and know the blessings of God and what, you know, what He has in store for us. I thought about the lesson this morning and how it all came together on the day of Pentecost. You know, how all these pieces were going through in the Old Testament. You know, set up this day as a feast. Set up this day as a feast. You know, sacrifice the lamb and take the blood and put it on the doorpost. And you know, all of these things that God prepared, all of these pieces that came together through Christ when He came to this earth, and the way that He lived, all of it came together to form, and on the day of Pentecost, all these 3,000, it all came together in one accord, all the languages, everything, even for Peter. It came together for Peter. Think about him for a minute. Think about how confused he was when he stood around a fire and a little maid said, "He's one of them." I know that he was with him. Think about how confused he was. He was so confused that he wasn't sure what was going on at the time. He didn't see the full picture. He was in that mode where he wasn't real sure. And he denied it. He denied Christ 3 times. He denied. Think of how confused he was. Think about how in his life he couldn't see the full picture because he was scared. And he was what? He was leaning into what? His own understanding at that time. And you can't fault him for that. We do that. We can just look at his example and see. But after everything, even after the crucifixion, what did he say? He said, I'm going to go fishing, because he still wasn't quite sure what was in store, what God had in store. But Jesus showed up while he was fishing and he said, "Hey, you've got a place to be. You're an important piece to this puzzle, and you've got a place to be, and I need you to get there." And he directed his paths. And guess what? On the day of Pentecost, it all came together. And instead of being afraid in front of a little maid and some other people, he stood up in front of thousands and proclaimed the message of Jesus Christ. Think about a reversal. That is what God can do when we allow Him to direct us in our paths. Also thought about this morning. Brother Steve had an interesting, you know, a thought, and it made a lot of sense to me. And the thought was, when they were talking about, when they saw the things that were going on at Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, and how when they spoke, they said, when they heard, they said, "Well, these people are drunk. These people." And a lot of times when God is directing you to do something, it doesn't make sense to anybody else, and they don't hear what you hear. You know, imagine Moses going to his wife and saying, you'll never believe what I just saw up on the mountain. Try to explain that. I saw a bush that was burning, and it spoke to me, and it was God, but it didn't really burn. And he told me to go to Egypt, and he told me to go right in, to march right in, and to tell Pharaoh to let all of the Hebrew slaves go. That was where God was directing him. God didn't send a memo out to everybody else and say, "Hey, I know it seems like Moses is under a lot of stress right now. I know it seems like he is saying some things, but that's not what he does." He calls us to do things, whether they make sense. Let me scratch that. He calls us to do things that aren't going to make any sense. And he calls us to trust in him. His Spirit will guide us to do those things which he will lead us to do. And it might not make sense for a while. I always lean on the scripture that says, "Thou hast enlarged my steps under me, that my feet wouldn't slip." God is preparing that path for you to go, because we don't want to see people end up here. We don't want to see people throwing away their lives because they think that there's no hope in it. Because they think that they don't have any part to play. Every piece is so important. If we put this puzzle together and there were pieces missing of it, it wouldn't be the same. It wouldn't be the same. And so keep these puzzle pieces and remind yourself that you are part of the great design, and nobody else can fill the spot that you know God wants you to fill. He wants you to go and do those things. And that if we trust in Him, that He will direct our paths. Now, I spoke earlier about Alex Miller and how, you know, it seemed so confusing at the time. But what a life he led while he was here on earth. We know the story of the life that he led in his church and in his school and the Christian that he was. And I'm sure that you guys have heard that at his funeral, there were like 30 or 40 people that came forward to be saved at his funeral. I don't know if you guys heard that. 30 to 40 people. Not sure how many came. But you talk about a puzzle piece that knew where he was supposed to be. That was Alex Miller. You talk about somebody who let God direct his paths while he had the chance here on earth. Because that doesn't happen without our willingness to go where God leads us. You talk about, for those people, for those who were saved, all of a sudden, when they were hearing those words at his funeral or throughout the whole thing, they saw the grand picture of things. Because an important puzzle piece was right there that God had put. And today, at church up there at Boggs Fork, a lot of those boys that got saved were back in church this morning, and they got baptized this morning. They got baptized. You see how important one piece is to the whole thing? That's you and that's me and that's all of us. That is us. You're not random. You're not to be thrown away. I thought about David, how a lot of people saw him just as a small piece, but how he went to do the things he did and become king and the life that he led. And I thought about all of those people in the Bible when God called them, who said, "Here am I. Send me." Think about Abraham. "Here am I." Moses. "Here am I." You know, Samuel, who wasn't sure who was calling out to him. But he went to Eli, and Eli said, when you hear that voice, just say, "Here am I. What do you need? Or where do you want to send me?" And so we have to be willing to be that piece that says, "Here am I. Put me in my place that I need to be so that a picture of you can be seen." And I thought about how God looked on the earth and said, "These people are lost and these people need a Savior," and how Jesus said, "Here am I, here am I," and how he came to fill that, to be that piece of the puzzle that just puts everything together. "Lean not unto your own understanding, but trust in God with all of your heart. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall" what? "Direct thy paths." Direct thy paths. What happens in a movie when the actor decides he's going to say whatever he wants to say? The whole vision doesn't turn out that great. Or what in a football game? What if a receiver says, "You know what, I don't like running the post route, I'm going to run a flag route." And there's already somebody there when it goes to the play to go. Or you can say in all these things, what if a soldier said, "I'm not going to take that hill, I'm going to take this hill." It's not up to us to direct where we go. It's not up to us because we can't see the grand picture. Imagine if these puzzle pieces were alive. If these were alive and they just wanted to go and they decided to go wherever they wanted to go, it wouldn't make much sense. But there is a place for everything. And we just have to trust in the Lord. As we get a song of invitation, think about where you are in your life. Think about how you view yourself. Think about how you view your capabilities. And maybe you feel like you're just a random piece of this confusing life. Maybe you would like some clarity. Or maybe you would like to fit where God wants you to go. Talk to the Lord. Ask Him to direct your paths. Maybe don't ask Him to show you what it is you need to see. Just ask Him to tell you where to go. Say, "God, put me in the place that I need. Let me know what it is that you want me to do, and I'll go there. Direct my paths so that your picture can be shown. As we get a song of invitation, I want to read this verse. Romans 8:28 says this, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." His purpose. How do we know His purpose? We just do as we're told. And His purpose will come into being. It says that all things work together for good to them that love God. The world needs to see this beautiful picture that God has given us. The world needs to see that there is a place that He has prepared for us. It needs to see that we can dwell in the house of the Lord forever if we allow Him to direct our paths. How did David get to that point where he sat at the table and his cup runneth over and they anointed his head? How did he get to that point? He allowed the shepherd to guide him through the pastures. He allowed him to guide him beside the still waters. He allowed to guide him even through the valley of the shadow of death. And he was able to reap the reward. As we get a song, if you have a need this evening and you need clarity in your life and you aren't feeling that you're being used the way that you should, we ask that you come to the altar or whatever need you have, if you're facing something, come to the altar and ask the Lord to direct you what to do. Where do I need to go? What do I need to be? What do I need to say? And it says that He shall direct our paths. You get a song of invitation.
Page number 11. Let's all stand. Page 11.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and
Bible decided to trust and obey and help to lead us where we are today, and people like Pastor Al and Pastor Aaron, Pastor Rob, and, well, just everybody that has served the Lord and has guided me, you know, to be where He wants me to be, and hopefully I can be a little bit further where He wants me to be. But anything else before we just